The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today
FM. Mary says we're now paying the high price for allowing the Delta virus into our country. We are going backwards fast. We'll end up with our hospitals full again and other health services cancelled. I find it hard to see an end to all of this. Over 50,000 cases in Britain today, and there are hospitals which are now cancelling surgeries, including life-saving surgeries, for the next 2 days. And I've just seen coming in front of me, we actually have the figures now in relation to the additional new cases. And we have an additional 1,173 cases in the country today. So this is the highest number since we've had at the end of January. And of those, 79 patients are hospitalised. Well, not of those, but of all of those with COVID at present, 79 people are hospitalised, 23 in ICU. And as Paul Reid, the chief executive of the HSE, did say on this programme yesterday, that is a far, far lower proportion of those with the infections requiring hospital treatment. Long may that continue, but will it? Dr. Gerry Killeen is our first guest. We'll be getting to children and public transport in a few moments. But Gerry Killeen, as Professor of Applied Pathogen Ecology at UCC, what do you fear could be the figures that we will soon reach when it comes to daily new cases of COVID?
It's hard to put an exact number on that, but there's no reason to expect that it won't keep going up like this unless we do something about it.
But how far? Could we be back like we were in January when we were at 6,000 or 7,000 cases a day?
We certainly could, but the dynamic will be more like our second wave, where you might remember where the vulnerable were largely cocooning, and so it took time for that infection level to leak into more vulnerable age categories, which we still have. We still have vaccinated people who won't respond very well to the vaccine. So you know, one thing I'm really concerned about with this one is that the lag time between case numbers and hospitalizations and deaths it'll be longer. It will get ourselves into deeper trouble before we realize our mistake. And we also know much more about long COVID now. We know that takes a long time to assess, and none of the signs are good. You know, we're much more certain about that risk now. And that's the primary risk, I think, for young people who have their whole lives ahead of them right now.
Yeah, but still, isn't there a big difference between the numbers who go to hospital and who die from COVID in this variant than there was from previous waves? And isn't that a positive thing which allows us maybe to sort of try and get on with living with COVID?
Unfortunately, no. So what we saw after Christmas, we've got to remember that wasn't the full, that was really not a full-blown epidemic wave. We put on the emergency brake at Christmas. And so what we saw was the result of just a few weeks of eased restrictions. So in this country, we've never actually seen a full pandemic wave. And thanks be to God, our vaccines are doing great stuff. You know, they do mitigate the effects of transmission. They do mitigate the impact of case numbers. But you've got to remember that, you know, a smaller percentage of a bigger number still, you know, can put us in the same territory as January. So those simulations by now fit that pessimistic scenario, it's broadly plausible, and that can happen to us if we're not careful.
So what do you think about the reopening of society? We'll have Anne Graham from the National Transport Authority, for example, with us in a moment to talk about going back to 75% capacity on buses and trains. What do you think of that as an initiative?
Well, I'm very optimistic about how reopening can go over the medium term. You know, if you look at our history with measles, for example, which is more transmissible, you know, there is an end point. Even if you don't quite get to, you know, herd immunity thresholds, you can nudge it out of existence. But you know, we're not there yet. Based on what we know about the transmissibility of the Delta variant, you know, we're looking at herd immunity thresholds in the range of 90% plus vaccine coverage of the entire population, including children. So, you know, we've got quite some way to go before we get there. So
would you recommend as well, there's been talk that teenagers are going to have to be vaccinated to help get the national herd immunity. How is that a necessity, do you think?
Absolutely, and all very normal. I mean, most of us are vaccinated for most things as early in our lives as is prudent to do so. And so that's not unusual. It's quite normal for vaccines. And in this case, with something that has such a high reproduction number, that will be necessary.
Okay, and what do you make as well then of children going into indoor hospitality spaces with their parents? Should parents do as Dr. Tony Holohan suggests and not bring them in, even if Taoiseach Micheál Martin says that's a choice that parents can make and do for themselves?
I'm absolutely unambiguously on the side of Tony Holohan on that one. I think the this construct of the family bubble, going indoors into a congregated environment like that, the bubble bursts at the door. So that just doesn't stand up epidemiologically. I can't think of any scientific basis for that policy.
Okay, Anne Graham, Chief Executive of the National Transport Authority, tell us please about the further reopening of public transport services to people from next Monday.
Yeah, so from Monday, our public transport services can have a capacity up to 75%. The government made that decision a number of weeks ago as part of the support for the reopening of society and to allow for some more movement, particularly at peak times, which at the moment is actually at weekends, to support people travelling to tourist locations and as part of their summer holidays. So that's what we're announcing today, is just to let people know that while this weekend there's still a 50% capacity on public transport services, from Monday that will be altered to up to 75% on public transport.
Even though the figures are going up, because that does mean that at present, you can sit in a seat, and I know this on the occasions when I get the bus either to work or from work. You sit down on your own, there's nobody sitting beside you. But now this means in one of two cases, you could have a stranger sitting down beside you. You don't know whether they've been vaccinated. You don't know whether they're sick. I mean, are people going to take that chance, do you reckon?
Well, that really is up to the individual, whether they do want to take that chance or not. And what we have ensured that in providing for this capacity, that there are still locations where seats are blocked off, so that for those that will be a little bit more anxious kind of travelling and see seats beside somebody that they don't know, there is an opportunity to sit in those locations on a bus, tram and trains as well, where you won't have somebody that you don't know sitting beside you.
Okay, Anne Graham, thank you. I want to go back to you, Dr. Gerry Killeen, because there are some people alleging that the vaccines aren't working, if these are the figures. What's your view? Are the vaccines successful? Are they working?
Well, they certainly are working. All the data really robust and encouraging. But they're just not perfect, and there never has been a perfect vaccine. You know, I remember my kids got measles on a trip home to Ireland once a couple of years ago in a small outbreak that was introduced from outside. And they had very mild symptoms. They got better. But of course, we had to keep them away from other kids and stuff like that. So, it's not a magic shield. There's no point in stretching your luck. But vaccines do wonders. And they're going to make it pretty straightforward to push this thing out of existence once we are up to 90% coverage.
Jerry, another
but we're
listener
really
says,
not there yet.
Don't bring children into restaurants, but send them back into crowded classrooms. Ridiculous mentality. But there is a difference, isn't there, between a classroom where there is deliberate policy of social distancing has been implemented and a restaurant or pub where people might start mixing with each other and where alcohol is involved.
It's not as big, you know. It is a difference, but it's not as big a difference as we would all like. You know, and also nobody goes into a pub for 7 hours. And I just glad people's minds are on the autumn rather than the summer, you know, because the things we do now will have consequences for what happens when we reopen our schools and universities. And I know we're all conscious of the disease burden. But we also need to be conscious of the impact our decisions have on timelines. You know, even if you get to things like herd immunity, or, you know, you have really good effective NPIs, they take time to work. And the bigger your infectious reservoir is, the longer it takes to dissipate. So, you know, if we can all just be a little wiser during the summer, autumn and winter might be much more manageable.
Listener says, if I book a hotel for October and I'm staying in the hotel but I'm not vaccinated, am I allowed to eat in that restaurant? I think you are, because at present, if you book into a hotel, you're able to eat in the restaurant, drink in the bar as a resident, and it doesn't matter whether you're vaccinated or not. Jen Hogan, Irish Times parenting columnist. We have heard overnight about a difference of opinion between Taoiseach Micheál Martin, who says it's up to parents for themselves to make a choice as to whether they want to bring their children into indoor hospitality with them, and Dr. Tony Holohan, who is saying, don't do it. Do not bring unvaccinated children in. What are parents to make of all that?
I think what I'm hearing from parents, I was speaking to some parents about this today, is obviously frustration again at this mixed messaging. You know, there's no clear guidance, the clear public health guidance. And Tony Holohan is to say that we shouldn't take children in, but obviously they're allowed to take children into a restaurant. That's what Taoiseach is telling us. And that leaves, I suppose, it puts the onus back on parents. I think overall there's kind of relief that children actually are allowed, even if some parents might opt not to bring their children to restaurants. Because we've been here before where children were banned from areas at the beginning of the pandemic when they weren't allowed into supermarkets and stuff. And I suppose that is one of the kind of fears maybe that some parents have, certainly I have, that we could see children vilified again here. You know, if parents decide to bring their children into restaurants, that they're viewed with suspicion. Here come the unvaccinated, unclean children, you know, who might spread the vectors. That vector narrative is still there. It's still there. And obviously, with no plans to vaccinate children in the meantime or in the short term, it's a case of, well, are we going to move on and allow children to do things, or is their life going to continue being heavily restricted in an ongoing way? So, I mean, certainly from the parents I was talking to, there are very mixed views about whether they'll go ahead with it. Some are adamant that life must go on and they will take their children to restaurants and they'll be as cautious as they can be, but they will go ahead with it. And then there's others who are fearful, especially because of the mixed messaging, and others who absolutely no chance are they taking
but
their kids to restaurants.
Jen, we were all been encouraged to holiday in Ireland, not to take unnecessary foreign trips, have an outdoor summer, but the weather's beautiful today, but it doesn't always allow for eating outside or drinking outside. So you think might a lot of parents be looking at the possibility of going overseas now with their children once they get their negative PCR test and are allowed to travel, because there might be less restrictions on their children overseas than there are in Ireland?
I don't know if that would be the case. It's certainly been pointed out about crossing the border, that there'd be less restrictions on their children there, and that for that reason, holidaying up north has holds huge appeal at the moment. For that reason, and I mean, the weather was mentioned certainly when I was speaking to parents and saying, while it's gorgeous like this, we can stay outdoors, and they're very happy to eat outdoors. But that they will actually go indoors if the weather changes, because they want to be able to do these things as a family, because it has been a long pandemic, and that they feel there are no plans for anything to change for children. Whereas the other restrictions around indoor dining, hopefully as time goes along, the plan is to vaccinate young adults and they will be protected and able to avail of these services. But there are no plans for children to be vaccinated. So nothing effectively is changing for them, except perhaps obviously the numbers coming under control and maybe the risk being less in that regard.
How worried do you think will parents be about the return to school? Like, I know it's well away at this stage. It's 6 weeks away. But, you know, we managed in most schools fine the return after March, but we didn't have the Delta variant sweeping at that stage. Are there going to be concerns? And now, at least the teachers at that stage, by the time we get back in September, every teacher, every adult should be vaccinated. But will there be concerns, you think, for parents with their children going back to school?
There's huge concerns starting to come out already. I mean, I know this was mentioned a little while back when there was discussions around the Delta variant and the projections about where we might be. And the CMO mentioned that we could compromise things in the autumn. And that has now, I suppose, come to the fore, particularly as our numbers are rising. There is that fear that the schools won't reopen, because we've been here twice before, you know, twice bitten, forever shy, it seems to be. And there is that absolute concern that if numbers continue to grow at the rate that they're growing, that children may not get back, and they really cannot handle a third disturbed academic year. I mean, they're still playing catch up from two hugely disturbed years, and here we go again now, we're looking into the September and the absolute fear that they won't get back. And also parents of college students, who some of whom have never stepped foot on campus, some of whom may have only done first year and have had no second year experience, so it's been a very, very limited experience in college. So there is huge awareness of what the consequences could be for education in September, and it is already on parents' minds at the moment. I think everybody's watching that space, and that is the biggest, that's probably the biggest fear for parents at the moment, rather than actual COVID and their children catching COVID. Well, nobody wants that to happen. It's what the impact will be for education as we move towards the autumn.
Thank you very much, Jen Hogan, parenting columnist with the Irish Times, and Dr. Gerry Colleen, Professor of Applied Pathogen Ecology at UCC. We had Anne Graham from the National Transport Authority. Some of your comments: you don't think children are mixing in classrooms? Wasn't it Tommy Tiernan who said little children very much resemble drunks? But I suppose it comes down to what's essential, and school and all it brings is essential. Another one, Paul says, you're a gas man, Matt. You're having a laugh at the social distancing in schools. A great myth pushed out by government. Try social distancing 30 15-year-olds in a 42 square metre room with government saying all kids are 2 metres apart. Work that one out. At least most teachers will be vaccinated by the end of August.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.